Well, back. Welcome to Dirt and Turf Podcast. I'm the man they call Cobra, and unfortunately it's a two-man team right now, but hey, Kat, welcome joining me.
How's it going?
It's going all right. We definitely had a lot of baseball today. I saw the Nationals beat on the Athletics at my fiance's house. She's a huge Nationals fan, so, you know, that's expected, par for the course. You know, she follows all things Washington.
I'm glad they won for her birthday.
Yep. Well, her birthday's already passed, so.
Oh.
Yep.
Oops.
It's already passed, and she actually got to see a Nationals game after her birthday. So.
That's cool.
Although they lost to the Phillies.
That's okay. I think the Orioles did too.
But we had some interesting things pop up in the world of baseball this week. I mean, the Royals have been on a major, major offensive boon. They had beat the Astros, but you know they had 20 runs in 13 innings.
I can't wrap my head around that. You know, there was this thing that I read back when Baltimore went to the Super Bowl after the Orioles had gotten a division championship or whatever it was, and
I think you're mixing sports.
No. So when the football team does well in the city, there's like a correlation of then the baseball team doing well the following season.
Okay. I follow you. So basically when the Ravens do well, then the Orioles do well.
Yes. Now we're seeing, you know, Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and now the Royals seem to have, you know, taken over.
I have to give a little caveat about that. Last year, the Royals did the same thing, and unfortunately, they imploded by the time the All-Star break hit, and it just kept going.
So, yeah.
Again, it's still early in the season. We'll see if the Royals can carry momentum. The Pirates. The Pirates have done the same thing. They have been on a world-beating streak, but they have pulled this BS before. You know, ask any Yinzer that follows the Pirates that are amazed that the Pirates actually exist still.
Yes.
Yeah, because they thought that the Steelers got Super Bowl. But no, it's, you know, the Pirates are still around. Uh-huh. Yeah, despite them drinking their Iron City Lights out of their Camaro while they're driving.
But the Brewers, if we want to talk about surprises, the Brewers are surprising me. They're on a 4-game win streak. They've won 10. They've only lost 3.
Yep. And
so,
and I will also add, they've had their second bench clearing brawl in 2 months.
Man, I miss all the good stuff because I can't watch Masson.
See, this is why I wish we were sponsored by FuboTV.
oh man, maybe we should reach out to them this week.
Maybe
get that figured out.
I'll definitely inform Ben that we should do that.
Yeah.
So one of the main things I wanted to talk to you about, and probably bring this up, is we have had a major avalanche of injuries happen to the pitchers.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Quadzilla went down. You know, a bunch of other pitchers went down. I am counting at least on two hands pitchers that are potentially going to have Tommy John surgery this year. These are aces.
On the injury report on the Major League Baseball website, there's so many like strained elbow or UCL tear or Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
Somebody had a dislocated shoulder.
Yep.
That is just in the AL East. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I really, when I first heard about the pitching clock nonsense, I don't think I really grasped what it was going to do. And now seeing what is happening to these pitchers, like you can't throw 100 miles an hour and throw 10 baseballs in 10 seconds. You can't do it.
No. But the other question is the pitch clock really to blame? I don't think it's the 100, it's the be all end all. You know, I don't think, oh, you take away the pitch clock, you take away the problem. I don't think that's the issue. I definitely think the main issue is the wear and tear on these pitchers, especially when they're throwing these 90, 100 mile per hour gases. And I can hear the old heads going, we didn't have this problem back in my day. Yeah, because the fastest fastball was under 90 miles per hour.
The most extreme kind of pitches. Yes. That pitching, not pitches, you know what I mean, that we've really ever seen in baseball. Across all of the teams. Obviously, in the past, we've had a couple of really standout pitchers. And when people saw them pitch, it was, wow, oh my gosh. You know, guys like Nolan Ryan come to mind.
Nolan Ryan is definitely the GOAT when it comes to pitching.
Yeah, definitely. Jim Palmer. Palmer, always a favorite of mine. Yeah. But now it's like every team has an amazing pitcher and an amazing closer and, you know, a cleanup guy. And I feel like pitching has really expanded over the years, but I don't think the treatment of their arms has expanded. And I do honestly think that the play clock has caused guys to, they don't have enough of a recovery time in between pitches.
I think one of the main things is they need to do what the minor league system does when it comes to pitchers. And
what's that?
I can tell you, and if you know what they do. Kat.
What do they do?
Well, the minor league system, what they do is when the starting pitcher's out there, they're out there a maximum of 5 innings.
Yeah.
You know, I understand.
But, I mean, awesome. Come on. Back in the day, you had one pitcher. If you were lucky, you had one pitcher. He stayed in all 9 innings. They weren't having Tommy John surgery like this. They weren't getting strained elbows like this. They weren't like...
Back to the,
Somebody had Kat, some hand injury.
Kat, back to the boomer equation. Again, they weren't throwing over 90... 95 mile per hour.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
You know, they weren't even reaching that speed back then.
No, that was like, nobody's ever going to throw at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And now here we are. And if a pitcher can't throw at 100 miles an hour, they're telling him he's not going to have a career.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but at the same time, look what it's doing to their arms.
Now that we're
reporting that there's a 14-year-old potentially going to have Tommy John surgery somewhere out there. Jeez. Like, are you kidding me? What?
You know, it looks like it is turning into not a maybe. Like, maybe this pitcher will one day have to have Tommy John surgery. No, now it's like,
when.
Chez, excuse me, Pitcher Smith. You've been pitching now for 6 months. When would you like your Tommy John surgery?
Yep, exactly. It's not a matter of if, a matter of when.
But I also have to say, though, that the improvements that they've made in the surgery process, the improvements that they've made with rehab, physical therapy, that kind of thing, it's not necessarily a career ender anymore.
Tommy John was not a career-ending surgery. It was a potentially, you know,
at one point. At one point, it was like, you're never coming back from this.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's like a torn rotator cuff. You know,
yeah,
best way to say it, you know. But
yeah,
anywho.
But still, like, there are situations where people were basically told that they were done pitching.
Exactly. So,
but yeah. I keep reading these injury reports. For anybody who is listening and doesn't know about this part of the MLB website, it's underneath of news and injury report. Yeah. And it's literally every team, it's all the divisions, and every team is listed. And there's so many pitchers that are.
It's insane. You know, pretty soon they're probably going to have to ask the Savannah Bananas for help.
Hey, I would be okay with that. Okay, I like the Savannah Bananas.
Hey, and I'm not knocking the bananas either. I love the bananas.
If somebody came out on stilts at Camden Yards and was going to pitch on stilts, I'd be there for it. I'd pay the $39 or whatever it is these days.
Hey, the Savannah Bananas are great for baseball. Facts.
They really are. They really are.
So, interestingly enough, I'm pretty sure there's an ace out there who has been standing by his phone and is like, hey, you know, I'll play for league minimum. You know, Trevor Bowers is, you know, he's got the all clear. You know, I'm pretty sure, you know, he's not even asking for, you know, big money. He's asking for a try me for a week. If you don't like me for a week, fine. But, you know, just. You know, I feel for him.
Give me a shot is basically what he's saying. Exactly. I mean, if we look at, you know, this is another thing that's really changed. If we look at how tryouts used to be, you know, right now, if you don't have, what is it? I forget what the time is that you have to go from home to first base.
Yeah, it's some type of clock time.
Yes. I forget what it all is, but if you can't make that time, they're like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
And
it's all about speed. I'm not talking about pitch speed or running speed. I'm talking about speed, bat speed, throwing speed, rotation speed. It's like all, you know, it's speed. And there's so much torque, wear and tear. You know, that happens, you know, and unfortunately the human body, you know, can only take so much before, bam, it goes.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Kat, I hope you don't mind, as much as I would love to continue talking about the injury report and all that, there is a player I'm pretty sure you probably kept an eye on and was frustrated he wasn't on the starting roster of the Baltimore Orioles.
Gosh, I bet I could guess who you are talking about.
I am talking about Jackson Holliday.
Oh, gosh, I thought so.
Yeah. I remember when the season started, it was either you or Ben who are bitching up a storm saying, why aren't they playing Jackson Holliday at the starting roster yet? Why?
Well, and see, we both understood, but at the same time, we were both like, oh, come on.
Well, there was actually a legit reason for it. There was a deadline for like the rookie of the year.
Yes.
Rookie of the year potential. And they had to wait it out because if Jackson Holliday wins rookie of the year, they actually get a compensatory first round pick.
Yes.
So there was legitimate strategy in that. I could understand the frustration, but at the same time, it was like his time and day was coming.
Yes. Well, and now that he's up, you know, Baltimore is known for embracing its teams and new players. And, you know, one of my favorite catchers, Matt Wieters, when he was a prospect and everybody was so excited about him, you know, people in Baltimore just really
Don't get me started about goddamn Nick Markakis.
Oh, Nicky. When Holiday came up to bat for the first time, you know, the umpire took his time dusting off the plate and everybody gave him a standing ovation and like his family was there.
Welcome to the big leagues, kid, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, the whole nine yards. But that's just how Baltimore does things.
Yep.
That, you know, football, baseball, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I was reading an article. I forget where I saw it, but you know, basically he said everything is different because in the minors, people are, how did he say it? People are working on things in the minors and
they are. And I can tell you that from experience watching these guys in the locker room with my dad.
Yeah. Yeah. But in the majors, it's like everybody already knows what they need to do. Yeah. And they're just trying to get you out. He said, you know, you end up being the only guy who has to catch up. And so, you know, you're trying to catch up. His dad actually was like, he just needs to take a breath, like just relax and just play. And so, you know, it will come. A kid like this who has so much talent, you know, even though he was probably born after I graduated high school, a kid like this with this much talent, he's gonna settle right in and he's gonna take off and do great.
Although some Baltimore fans were kind of bitching that he was wearing the number 7. Because it was Cal Ripken Sr.'s number, you know.
Cal Ripken Sr.'s number. Also, but you know what?
Wearing number Jackson 7 Holiday. His dad's number.
Yes, he reached out to Cal Ripken. Cal Ripken then reached out to Billy, his brother Billy, and said, listen, this seems like the kid to let wear dad's number. And Billy was like, go for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, Cal Ripken being a part of this organization again, I won't stop talking about it like at all, so I hope you don't mind.
Because let me say this openly, kind of switching gears a little bit, when with the Buffalo Bills, I'm a Bills fan, with Jim Kelly passing the torch down to Josh Allen,
that was
one of those moments that definitely helped me out a little bit. You know, I get your feelings on that.
It's the previous generation,
yeah,
passing the torch. If you can't recognize that as a fan, yeah, you need to go do something else with your time. Like,
legends,
boo-hoo, it wasn't you.
Yeah.
Move on.
Yeah. The legends of the game still being a part of their organization that made them famous.
Yeah. Yes.
And not only still being a part of the organization, but being a part of the community and...
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, and Cal Ripken owns, like, a whole little league himself.
And we can also go on about various legends of their respective sport giving back to the community and doing...
Oh, man, that would take us days.
You know, with Buffalo, you got Dominic Hasek and the Hasek's Heroes hockey organization that has been given back to, you know, to struggling families that get into the game of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was one thing. You know, you got plenty of athletes who, you know, owe their career to the city that gave them a chance, and they really ran with it. So,
yes.
And that's not just baseball. It's not just hockey, not just football. It's all sports.
It really is. Actually, the Baltimore Blast does a ton of stuff for the community. And, you know, I really feel like that's a part of sports these days, is involving the community and bringing the community together in ways that other things don't.
Yes. Now we're going to switch, we're going to step away from that plate, and we're going to go towards a little bit of game predictions. What games we're going to look at for tomorrow, the Sunday afternoon games. We're going to be, by the way, these games are sponsored by one of our affiliates, Sleafs.com. That have always delivered the drip on your arms, on your legs, everywhere you can go. I've used Sleafs for over 10 years now, and they've always helped my arm when I go out on the lanes. Once again, use our affiliate link in our Spotify bio or wherever you get your podcasts on a Social Sports Bad podcast.
Yes.
Please help out the channel greatly. Kat, you've checked out Sleafs, haven't you?
Briefly, and then, you know, there was a goat that got out, and I had to go chase it back into the fence.
The goat. Oh, no. So Kat, what I want you to do is I want you to, pick, three games, since there's only two of us. I want you to pick three games you were looking at and pick your winners.
Oh dear!
I don't need a score. I don't need bold prediction. I just need your games and victories.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay, so
just keep it simple.
Definitely the Orioles Brewers because
Homer. Yeah, Homer, you got to do it.
Yeah. Well, and also the Brewers seem to be kind of hot. And, you know, it's always exciting to be able to watch the teams that are, you know, doing really well. And then, let me see, I'm flipping through the schedule here.
So who are you picking? So you picked the Brewers over the Orioles?
I actually am going to pick the Orioles because I feel
you
like...
You stand by your team, right?
Well, not only that, but like I feel like the Brewers have kind of hit themselves into a corner. Like they've had so many runs scored that eventually you gotta slack off somewhat, you know. So
valid point.
Hopefully that'll be tomorrow. And then, gosh, I think the other game I would want to watch is the Yankees and Cleveland.
Right.
And we all know the Yankees are winning that. But it's just, you know, it's fun to see that, like, overpowering team with, like, kind of the underdog. Because you always kind of hope that the underdog just, you know, pulls the rug out from under them.
Right.
And then, actually, I want to see how the A's are doing. So I'm going to say Washington at Oakland.
Yep.
Well, they're saying Oakland, but we all know it's just the A's.
Yep. So you're picking the Nationals over the Athletics.
Yes.
They are carrying momentum. They did win tonight. Yeah. All right. So, and now for my picks.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'm looking at the Pirates and Phillies. The Phillies won today. They may have won today, but the Pirates have been white hot right now, so I'm going to say the Pirates will take tomorrow's game.
Plus, that's a nice state rivalry.
Yep. Then I'm going to take a look at the Braves and Marlins game. The Braves are racked with injury, and the Marlins are just hot garbage. So this will be absolute fun fest. But I hate to say it, but I don't think that the Marlins will be eating free Whoppers this time. So the Braves will win this one. And okay. Then finally I have the Royals versus the Mets. And not gonna lie, the Royals are going to absolutely dominate because long Mets reign supreme across the land delivering the laughs. You thought the Mets were good. That was your second mistake. The first mistake was being a fan to begin with.
Oh gosh! Yeah. Yes.
Just wait till July 1st. Then we really get to laugh at the Mets.
Oh man, I can't believe the Mets have seemingly fallen so far from. And again, it's early in the season. Like, we all know this.
We all know that. But at the same time, it doesn't hurt to be excited for the teams that are right now on top of the mountain right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't fall off a cliff. Although with the White Sox, they fell into a mountain of cocaine thanks to Tony La Russa.
Oh man, I saw the Chicago White Sox record and my jaw hit the floor. They've won 2 games and lost 12. That's I don't know if the White Sox have ever started like that.
Cat, are you sure they're not the Detroit Pistons?
You know, I pondered that, but no, it says Chicago White Sox.
Oh God. Sorry, Chicago White Sox fans, all 2 of you. What?
There's still 2?
Yep, there's 2 of them.
Okay.
So, anywho, that was funny. Anywho, that is it for the Dirt and Turf podcast, as brief as it is. Hey,
that's all right. We're 2 men down at this point. So,
Tyler went. Unfortunately, had a back injury. You know, just like me, kind of, but not like me at the same time.
Yeah.
Ben, my co-host, he's kind of, you know, has life interfering. You know, it's called a job. You know, we're trying to make do with what we got. But Kat, thank you for joining me. And
absolutely.
Yeah. And once again, I thank you guys for listening out there. Whoever you are, that make sure we get to do what we do. I am the man called Cobra from the Dirt and Turf podcast. On behalf of Kat, let's play ball.